Matthew 20. For the first five messages in our current series, we've been in the Old Testament. The series is entitled Q&A. It's a series that takes questions recorded in the Bible, and we pause and reflect on them to find out what it is that God is saying to us today, not just what was written then, but how does he apply it to us today in our own lives. Questions like, did God really say? Adam, where are you? Am I my brother's keeper? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Who am I? And we have another question today that shows up in our text in Matthew 20. I want to read verses 29 to 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And we know from the parallel account, one of those blind men was named Bartimaeus. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them, told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. Parallel account, it says that the crowd spoke to the blind man and said, hey, he's calling for you. Be of good cheer. They brought him to Jesus in the parallel account. Here it says, Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Lord, powerful questions are scattered throughout the Word of God. Questions that were written to accurately reflect what took place at that time, but questions that are intended to teach us, correct us, rebuke us, and train us. Not just historical questions that were, but the living Word of God that still speaks today. The word that at times will challenge us, challenge our way of thinking, challenge the way of living. Other times it will encourage us, spur us on in hope. Accomplish what you want to in this message today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When we read a narrative in the Bible, like we see here in our text, I sometimes like to pause and say, what would it be like to be there? To step into that situation. Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. He is getting ready to hit what we call Holy Week, the last week before the crucifixion. And as he's going through Jericho, there's a couple of blind guys sitting beside the road. Now, if you were blind back in the first century, you didn't have access to the Disabilities Act that we have here in America. You didn't have a seeing eye dog. You didn't have Braille. You had nothing. You were absolutely dependent upon family and friends to support you or the generosity of strangers as you begged. But this particular day, as Jesus is passing through, the blind men heard about Jesus coming, and they obviously had heard enough from the last 3 years that Jesus could open the eyes of the blind, and so they began shouting out. There was no little whisper here, there was no peeping. This was, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Crowd tried to shush him. Shh, shh, be quiet. Shh, he's got no time for you. In that culture, if you were blind, you weren't considered equal to everybody else. If we saw in John 9 that the blind man, they wanted to know who sinned. Master, the disciples asked Jesus, did he sin or did his parents sin? Because in their mind, that was a curse. That was something that meant you were less than desirable. So they're trying to shush him and shush them up. That wasn't going to stop them. They started screaming even louder to the point that Jesus stopped, called for the blind men to come, They're brought to Jesus, and then Jesus asks the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would it be like if Jesus were to come up to you today and ask you, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's not the first time that a question like this has been asked, or at least implied. Over in 1 Kings chapter 3, we read, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Ask for whatever you want me to give you. What a question. What a question. How would you answer that question? What do you want me to do for you? Now, you might give me some pushback. "Pastor Ray, it's not first century. I'm not one of the blind guys. And it's certainly not 2,900 years ago. I'm not Solomon. So I'm not so sure you can take that question and rip it out of its context and apply it to us today. Aren't you doing a little bit of reading into the text instead of reading out of the text?" And I would agree that we're not in the first century and we're not 900 years before the coming of Christ. We're not the blind man, we're not Solomon. But have you read John 16 lately? John 16, verse 23. "I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." This is a follow-up to what Jesus said in John 14, 14. "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So, in a way, Jesus is asking you, "What do you want me to do for you?" How would you answer that question? How would you answer the Lord? Think about these blind men. They are being asked the question by the one who is the Word made flesh. They're being asked this question by the one in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. The one who claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the door for the sheep, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and the true vine. The one by whom all things were made. Through him all things are held together. This one, the Lord of the universe, the one whose name is above all names, is now asking you, "What do you want me to do for you?" For the blind men, they had one answer. Chapter 20, verse 33. "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. We want to see." We don't know how many months, years, or even a lifetime where they couldn't see, but they're saying, "Please, Lord, we want to be able to see." When Solomon was asked the question, he answered in 1 Kings 3:6, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child." He was 20 years of age at this point, "and do not know how to carry out my duties." 20 years old, responsible for over 1 million Israelites. "I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The blind man didn't waste time. "We just want to see." Solomon's like, "Well, you know, well, you know," he did write Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs, so a little more verbose. Bottom line, though, what Solomon says is, "I need wisdom. This is what I'm asking. You've asked me, what do I want from you? Here's what I need. I need wisdom. I need a discerning heart to govern your people because I can't do this on my own." And both requests were answered. In chapter 20, 33 of Matthew, after they said, "Lord, we want our eyes to be open," moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. And immediately they regained their sight and followed him. one of the parallel gospels, it says that they started praising God because they could see. And then they got so excited, they got other people excited. And then everybody's following Jesus to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. Solomon got his answer as well. It says in chapter 3, verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. You can see that same reality showing up in Proverbs where it says, get wisdom. Above all things, get wisdom. It's better than anything else. So in both cases, they made requests. God said to them, the Lord said to them, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. I want wisdom. And the Lord answered in both cases. So let me ask you again. Today, the Lord walks by you and he says to you, what do you want me to do for you? How would you answer that request? Now, I do want to put a little qualifier in there. Because it sounds like, yeah, numbers to the lottery, Jesus. That's what I'm asking for. Please, Lord, I'm speeding because I'm late for work. Don't let there be a cop around the corner. Oh, I didn't study for my test, Lord. I'm in school. I know they say there's no prayer in school, but I'm praying because I need help on my test. I didn't study. Now, there's a qualifier. I'll show you an example. James and John learned this in Mark chapter 10. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, we also call them the sons of thunder, they came to him, hey, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Yeah, what do you want me to do for you? We got one. Here's what we want, teacher. Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. Now wait a minute. Didn't you just say, Pastor, what do you want me to do for you is what the Lord is saying. They asked what they wanted him to do for them, and he said no. What made the difference? I think what made the difference is that James chapter 4, verse 2 wasn't being applied yet. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You don't have because you don't ask God. Well, they asked. When you ask, you don't receive. Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It's not a carte blanche to fulfill any greedy desire that we want or have in our life, but there indeed is this question being asked, what do you want me to do for you? And John finally figures this out, because when he writes 1 John years later, decades later, he says this, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So within the broader concept of the will of God, if Jesus came by today and asked you, what do you want me to do for you? Well, how would you answer? I don't need show of hands, but just ask yourself. If the Lord walked by you right now and said to you, Matt, what do you want me to do for you? Alicia, the Lord comes by and says, what do you want me to do for you? Phil, the Lord asks you, what do you want me to do for you? Personalize this. Cody, what do you want me to do for you, the Lord says. Bob, the Lord says to you, what do you want me to do for you? How do we answer? This past Wednesday, I attended a funeral. Carla Decker's mom passed away. Her name, Barb Conway. And she passed away, and they did the funeral service, and so I drove down to deposit for the service. Now, near the end of her life, Barbara was going through a lot of challenges physically. Kidneys stopped working. They had her in all kinds of dialysis machines, and it just was not going well. And she finally made the decision, I just can't do dialysis anymore. And so it was just going to be a matter of time. Well, then the pastor went to visit, as the pastor normally does, and sitting down with Barb, and Barb said, "Pastor, I know what I want from the Lord." And that's kind of what triggered this message today. I know what I want from the Lord. And the pastor said, "I bet you they're going to ask for healing. I bet you that's what she's going to say." She said, "Here's what I want." I mean, she's a week away from death. She says, "I want to know God better. And I want him to work in my life to make me more and more what he wants me to be." Wow. Wow. So what do you want? What she wanted, what Barb wanted, sounds awfully similar to what Paul said he wanted in Philippians chapter 3. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Last night, my wife and I were chatting about this message. Driving home, we went up this weekend. They were going to honor the 2020 graduates of Roberts in person because the pandemic canceled it. So we went up for the weekend, and we're driving back last night, and I was just going over this message with her. And I said, "You know, honey, as I think through, there are three things I want of the Lord." And I share them with her, and those are between us, but three things that I want to see God do. So I ask you this question in a message shorter than you expected. Hey, I already got my wish. I was asking the Lord to shorten that sermon. All seriousness, though, how would you answer? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses. I'll forgive those who sinned against me. Don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil." What would you ask for? I believe that the Lord's word today is intended for you here watching the service or here in the service. But it really is asking you this question. What do you want me to do for you? How will you answer that question? To start, let's give yourself some time with the Holy Spirit to answer that question. What do you want me to do for you? So, Lord, we take all of these requests that were made individually and collect them together and lay them before you. We pray that you would refine them where they need to be refined, that you would allow them to line up perfectly with the will of God, and that they would rise before you like incense, that they would be lifted up in the name and authority of Jesus, lining up with his priority, with his purpose, for our lives, for your glory, and for the kingdom. That, Lord, over the next few weeks, we'd begin to see answers to these prayers. That we, like the blind men, will begin to praise and glorify you as we see these answers come. And as you declare your glory, that our praise of you will lead others to join, following and praising you as well. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.